Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from our guest speaker. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
Good morning, Gateway. It helps to have a loud voice in advance. You forget you need a mic. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. So thankful you all are here. Man, you guys have a great pastor and Pastor Don. Y'all give it up for Pastor Don. I wish you could have been here with me. You know, it'd be cool to have this big booming voice right behind me just going, yes, Stephen, keep going. You know? So that's exciting to be here. I have a question for you, though. By show of hands, who set a New Year's resolution this year? Oh, y'all lying in church. Who? Oh, either y'all don't like me, one or the other. So for those of you that set New Year's resolution and didn't raise your hand, let me give you some information, okay? God, that's crazy. Okay, who got a new gym membership this January? Boy, I got to talk to Pastor about this. He don't even know. Top 8 New Year's resolutions. You ready to hear them? Some of them apply to you who didn't raise your hands. So health, just in general, right? These are general. You know, it was not specific. General health, fitness, finances, those are the top 3. Fellowship, meaning like have more friends, I guess, I don't know. Faithfulness to someone or something, I'm not exactly sure, but less and more of stuff that's good or bad in life. So they categorize less and more, right? Good deeds was on there, and learn more was on there. Like, that was the last one. Like, learn more. Learn more of what? How to use Netflix. I don't know. Learn more was what they just said. So it's just amazing to me that every year, January 1 comes, we think that that change needs to take place at the new year day. Right? I'm new now. And you step back and look and go, yes, here we are in September. If you didn't raise your hand the first time, I'll give you grace to raise it now. How many of you who kicked off a New Year's resolution this year and then decided somewhere along the way, now we're in September, that, yeah, that resolution is stupid. I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, those are some new hands. Those are new hands. It was like 4 of them that I didn't see the first time. I'm glad I said the word grace. Oh, your T-shirt. The whole point is the problem isn't that you're trying to do good things, right? I mean, it kind of is. Doing new things doesn't make you new, okay? Doing new stuff doesn't make you new. You can train animals to do stuff, okay? There's still that particular animal with that instinct, right? Don't get a pet cheetah, just warning you in advance. I need you to understand this. You have to be made new. And that making over, that redoing, that rebirth that comes makes you new then instantly. You don't need January 1 for that. That can start today. It can start now. But I want to help us walk through Scripture and look at what it means to be made new. Because many people say, yes, I'm new in Christ Jesus. And they'll say that, but then they respond the same way they used to before in traffic. Using hand signals, okay? And I don't mean for turning. I'm saying that when you're made new, everything is new. And being new doesn't mean just doing new things. It means being new. And because you're made new in Christ, you get to do something that no one else can do, and that's take new ground for the kingdom of God. So we're going to walk through that today. But I want you to keep in mind, don't think about someone else's newness during this message, okay? I want you to take it personal. Look at you. You can't make someone else new. That's God's part. Your role is to get yourself made new, examine yourself, check your fruit on your tree, and then ask God to help you. Because too often in America, we get this judgmental idea that we can look at folks and tell who they are and what they are. I mean, I don't look like your average preacher, right? And so most people, they meet me and go, hey, man, what's up? And they'll start using language and hand signals, and I don't understand. And I'll be like, great. And then someone who's seen me preach somewhere will go, Pastor Stephen, how are you? And they're like, that's a preacher? Yes, I was in church this past Sunday. I was in third service. But they didn't have a third service that Sunday. Well, I'm Bedside Baptist member, right? You'll get that on the way home. The point I'm making is this. Doing new stuff should flow out of being new on the inside. Your actions and responses and perspective, all of those things, if you're made new, will come from the newness within, not from out to in. Once God comes in and makes you alive in Him, in your belief and life surrendering to Christ Jesus, then everything else in your life is impacted. I mean, could you imagine that for a second? Imagine what your house would look like if everyone was made new. Imagine if everyone in your neighborhood was made new. Imagine if everyone at your job was made new. Imagine, if you will, Columbia was made new. Imagine if America was made new. And we had different responses. And we showed grace and love the way Christ intended us to. Imagine, just imagine what that would look like. But it can't start anywhere else until it starts with you. The ones who were called out. Ecclesia, church, means called out ones. The called out ones need to be made new in Christ Jesus first. And if we're not made new, then the impact can't happen. And it's not by stuff that we can do, okay? Don't confuse what I'm saying to see that I'm telling you, well, start here. This is plan A. This is plan B. Here's works number one, works number two. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, he saved us, not by works. This isn't the first time Paul said this, okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, you've been saved through grace by faith. And in verse 9, he says, not by your own works, so no one can boast about it. It's a free gift. And it says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See that word re? That means again. Jesus talks about being born again in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus is talking to him, and he's saying, yes, you are clearly from God. He's trying to compliment him, right? But it's not really complimenting because he's not saying who Jesus really is. And Jesus doesn't even respond. He just goes, you can't go into heaven unless you're born again. And Nicodemus is like, how can I be born again? And Jesus calls him out a little bit. He has fun with him. It's awesome. But he tells you, you can't, unless you're born again, unless you're remade, made new in Christ Jesus, your death in sin is not revived in Christ Jesus by the washing and the regeneration, the renewal, then you're just going to be trying to do new stuff and it's not going to stick. Jesus actually uses an illustration with wine bags, right? He says if you try to put new wine in old wineskins, the old is going to burst. It can't handle it. There's science behind that, right? I'm not going to go into that. What I want to give you is this. What the illustration is meant to depict is you can't remain the same and take on the new role as a follower of Jesus. You can't stay just as you are. You can't even stay where you are mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You can't stay where you are and follow Jesus. And for some of you, that may even mean proximity. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, because you have been born again. Again, because you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Being born again is more than just a cool cliche or a nice line in a song lyric. It's a reality that should take place in everyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord, that confesses that he came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross for your sins and mine. I'm not ignorant. I've sinned before, okay? I'd raise my hand without any remorse. Okay, I'm not calling anybody out who didn't raise their hand for the New Year's resolution. But what I'm saying is, be proud to know that, hey, I once was lost and now I'm found. He died for me, but he didn't stay dead. They put him in a borrowed tomb because he wouldn't be there long. And when he came back with all power in his hands, and he says, now, be made new. He gave us three primary assignments, three. He said, be my witnesses. Make disciples and baptize them. Do you really want to be in front of Jesus one day? And we all will, by the way. You're all going to face him. Everyone is, lost or not. And when you do you really want to stand in front of Jesus and say, well, you gave me all these years of life. I didn't tell anybody about you. I didn't lead anybody to you. I didn't make one disciple. Do you really want to stand in front of the creator of everything who died for you and tell him, I didn't have time for that. I spent 4 hours in front of the TV watching a ball game, but I didn't have 2 minutes to share the gospel with that lost neighbor I had. Not sure that that's going to go over well for you. I'm just amazed sometimes at how we think that newness has taken root in us, but nothing in our life shows it. So there's a scripture that Paul gives at the end of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 13, verse 5, let's take a look at it. He actually says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. He's actually telling you to check yourself, right? I mean, new modern terms, check yourself, right? Then he says again, examine yourselves. It's like he says it twice back to back. Test and examine. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless you fail the test. I mean, think about it for a second. Jesus tells us to do some stuff, right? He's pretty clear about it. If I had 2 hours to talk to you, I'd go through exhaustively every last one of them. But I don't. There's a timer on me. So what I'm going to say is this. Jesus gives us clear commandments and instructions for relationship. For relationship with him. As a parent, I'm a parent. I have two beautiful kids, right? My wife blessed me, right? They look just like her. It's awesome. And so at this point, if my kids, I give them instructions and they don't do it, am I just going, okay, that's all right. Everything's good. It's okay. Have a great day. Yes, you can have that sucker and the cookie. What? Disobedience requires discipline. That's part of the problem in America today, right? You got a bunch of kids running around with no discipline. Disobedience requires discipline. As a matter of fact, if you're going to call Jesus Lord, you should probably do what he says. Makes sense. It was really crazy how Christ revealed to Peter, right, himself, hey, I'm the Christ. And Peter goes, you are the Christ. I was like, okay, he's kind of been with you all this time. Now you say he's Christ. He says, yes, Peter, I'm the Christ. Next verse. Jesus says, I'm going to die. For y'all, I'm going to die. Peter, not so, Lord. Could you imagine taking your kids to the grocery store? All right, kids, come on, we're going to Publix. Let's get in the car. Not so, Daddy. I want to play Fortnite. Well, that's okay, son. That's all right. Well, we'll just wait then. We don't need eggs and bacon. We just say, what? We find it funny when it's my kid, but we think it's cool when it's us. Look at Luke 6:46. Jesus flat out says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? If you call him Lord, let's go deeper. If you say you love him, look at John 14:15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's pretty simple. Lord, love. Do what I say, keep my commandments. He tells us to love one another. not use hand signals. Put those hands together and pray for somebody. It's crazy. He actually tells us again in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, this is how they'll know you're mine, by how you love each other. And look at how we act in America. Seriously. We laugh about people insulting each other. We laugh about how we treat each other based on our differences. We laugh and cheer. We get on the comfort of our Facebook posts and just say ridiculous stuff with ignorance. You think that's showing the love of Christ? If a lost person of a different culture group read your Facebook posts, would they be encouraged to come to know your Jesus? I don't know about you, but I take Jesus serious. And I think if you're made new, you would too. And I think that when you get made new, the thinking changed too. Let's look at our text for today's service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 through 21. Just a little overview of how Paul gets here to 2 Corinthians 5. Paul shares the most about himself in 2 Corinthians. Like, he's really divulging a lot about his personal self and his accolades and his experiences. And he's also speaking a lot about his relationship with the Corinthian church. I mean, he loves them. Now, they went through some mess. You get to see that in 1 Corinthians. If you hadn't read it, it's like a drama novel. You're like, wow, that's a messed up church. That's why you don't ever see anybody say 1 Corinthian church or 1 Corinth. You don't ever see that anywhere, right? Because everybody knows, that church has some problems. Which is okay. I mean, every church has some problems, right? And then, as he's walking through this, he kind of talks about, you know, the fragrance of life unto life and unto death of the believers in chapter 2 and in chapter 3. He talks about being transformed and going from glory to glory. And in chapter 4, he really gives this encouraging speech about being down and out, but not knocked out. He talks about being down and not out. In chapter 5, the focus is being made new. Like, what does this newness in life mean? And I'm going to encourage you with this, because it is an encouraging word. But it's a loving reminder of, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm going to be made new. I'm not made new just so I can walk around and smell myself. I'm made new so that I can do what God has called me to do, because I couldn't do it with my old self. I needed a new self from God, because I couldn't do it on my own. Verse 15, he starts. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Man, I could just preach that portion of that verse all by itself. He says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, the same guy who watched Stephen get stoned to death, the same guy who was persecuting Christians to put them in jail, some unto death, the same guy says, I've now been crucified with Christ. That sounds like a new person. Proof that Jesus showed up in front of him on a dusty road and blinded him for a few days. Because if you didn't believe that before, you look at his life and how he changed. Something happened. And that's what you are supposed to show the world. Don't brag about your sin, but be bold in saying, that's who I used to be. And I'm not that anymore. I'm new now. And my newness in Christ isn't for my glory, but for his and for what he's called me to do. After he says that you should no longer live for yourself, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Verse 16, from now on then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we know him in this way. That means you're not playing church anymore. That means you're not just trying to compartmentalize Jesus like the rest of the world wants to. Let me tell you how bad this gets, okay? I was driving. I apparently do a lot of driving because I talk about driving a lot. This lady had two stickers on her car. On the left side, driver's side, "In God we trust." Big, bold squares. "In God we trust." I thought, oh, that's cool. I looked right across from her on the right. Big, bold sticker. It said, "I live on chaos, caffeine, and cuss words." Not made new, player. Not played new. You missed a step. Didn't say I live on Christ. It's cool to say "In God we trust," but who is God? Define him. Because some people have a misconstrued notion of who God is. But if you're made new in Christ, you'll reflect Christ. The Father will conform you to the image of his Son, and you'll look like him. And people will go, "Oh, man, you're different." They'll become curious, and their curiosity will lead them to being convinced that, you know what, you're real. You really changed. And their being convinced will lead to their commitment to Christ, and they'll be changed too. I'm almost through these verses. I'm going to make my time limit, I promise. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." There's the changing point. New has happened. New is here. When you receive Christ, old passes away. That's why he said, "I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. I'm living a new life. I can't do what I used to. I can't see what I used to see." Point one, all new everything. Simple. Y'all weren't happy about the simple? Okay. Let me explain how simple this is. New perspective. New desires, a new purpose, new passions, new responses, yes, even while driving. Some of y'all need to take the fish off your car. Goodness me. Man, one lady, 4 lanes of interstate traffic to get off the exit after going 90 to catch up. I thought, let me pray for her because something's wrong. That don't even make, she could have hit the biker. There was that fish. New responses. When you're in line somewhere and somebody bumps into you or somebody says something ugly to you, how you respond should show newness in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you had to go to anger management classes for 7 years. That's a long time. Your responses are new when you're made new in Christ Jesus. His Spirit gives you newness in him. You get a new appetite. I'm not talking about just barbecue in South Carolina, okay? I'm saying the new things that you long for and you desire for. Your zeal is different. Your heart is made different. Your hope is different. You're not putting your hope in guns. You're putting your hope in Christ. I'm not telling you to stop going to Palmetto. What I'm telling you is sometimes you put your hope in Christ Jesus more than not. And you make the conscious decision to say, "Lord, I believe in you, I love you, I'm gonna obey you no matter what this world looks like, no matter what the world says about my value and who I am, what they say is wrong if you say opposite." You're gonna have new relationships when you're made new. Primarily one with God, but also with other people. The relationships will be new also, and you'll have a new commitment. We exist solely, so we can see the world be transformed one life at a time. And it's amazing to me how we as the church have somehow forgotten about that. We think it's about how comfortable the chair is. The quality of the church is not based on how many sit, it's how many go and are sent. Some of us have no business going across the world because we won't even go across the street. Verse 18. "Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's become a huge buzzword lately, right? Reconciliation, especially racial reconciliation, right? Well, before, oh, race isn't in the Bible, first of all. So here we have the ministry of reconciliation being called to us. That's a ministry of reconciliation to people who don't believe, to people who do believe. And people who do believe, for us to reconcile to each other. You got a problem? Let's work it out. Let's come together, not separate. There is no separate but equal. That's not biblical. One body, reconciled, all together. That is, verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we as ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Because he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. So that in him we might become, there's that be made new, the righteousness of God. You have to be new. Being new is the ticket, not just doing new things. That's my second point. Be new, not just do new things. Okay, make this point. Imagine someone comes to Gateway, and they say, hey, I want to join the church. And then they come, and they're here, and years go by, and they're faithful to come on Sundays. They even maybe come to a Sunday school class. They beat you in the cornhole tournament, whatever it is, right? And they get in their car to leave. And one day, you decide, you know what? I'm going to try to get to know them outside of the church. I'm going to try to get to know them outside of these four walls. And so you invite them over to your house. And so they come over to your house, and they look completely different. Like, they change their hair. their language choice is different. The woman that they brought in was different. Whatever, right? You'd be concerned, wouldn't you? You'd be like, who? You're not Frederick. What? Where is my church member friend? Where? Who are you? You'd be concerned. You'd say, you hoodwinked me. Do we still say hoodwink in 2018? You bamboozled me. I don't appreciate. Start pulling on your belt. I can't believe you did that. I find my broomstick. Whatever, right? It's amazing. Some people don't even get out of the parking lot before they boop, turn the switch back over. They'll switch masks quick, right? Huh, I'm at church. Oh, I need to leave work, right? Your hope shouldn't change based on your context or your circumstances. Your response with forgiveness shouldn't change on your proximity to the building. You're the church no matter where you go. You represent Christ no matter where you are. You're new in him no matter where you belong. You are his. No matter what your street zip code may be, no matter where you travel to, no matter what context you step into, you're his. You should reflect him. And that shouldn't change because you're close to folks you know got the same sticker on their car that you do. You should be honest with yourself and with God. So don't just do new stuff based on a new context. Be completely new and watch your whole context be transformed by who you are. Because he changed you. Jesus wants you to be changed. Look, let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus says to the people he's calling out, his disciples, he's calling them out. He says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. He says, follow me, and I will make you become, there's your newness, fishers of men. These guys he was talking to, that was their profession. They were professional fishermen. Like, that's what they did. You want to talk about fishing? Those guys were, that's why when he did the miracle of casting on the other side, they were like, what? Play? I've been here all night. Now, he might not have said player, but you know. And he threw his net over, and they caught so much fish, their net started to break. That would have blown them away. Literally. And they left everything to follow Jesus. They literally left their nets. Two kids left their dad to go follow Jesus and left him and everything else to be new in Christ Jesus. That's a mind shift. That's a perspective shift. And it was even an occupation shift for them. Follow God and trust him to have his way with you and watch what he does. He'll impress you. You used to be enemies of God, actually. All of you did. Well, the Bible says so. But first in Romans 5, I think it's verse 10, it says, even you were enemies of God at one point of time. But if he can reconcile you, he can surely do it for somebody else, even the Gentiles. Right? If he could save you from the mess that you did, stop looking down your nose at everybody else. We're supposed to be the reflectors of God's heart. If he could love you enough to bring you into the fold, there's hope for others. I know there's hope for others because of how he redeemed me. My dad is a pastor, okay? I told myself I was never going to preach. I did. People always ask, Stephen, when are you going to follow your daddy's footsteps? That's not how it works. That's not. God calls you and you go. I don't feel that call yet. I was denying it. Went to college, lived like a college kid, and my senior year, God was just like, great job. You ran. You tired yet? Good. Let's go. I'm like, what you mean am I tired? I'm not tired. I maybe a little bit. You still want me though? I mean, I'm pretty messed up. I'm pretty messed up, you know? I don't know why you'd want me. Little country South Carolinian kid, nobody wants me. He said, no, I'll make you new. Let's go. And he wants the same for you. Your role may not be the microphone where everybody sits down and gives you blank stares. That might not be your role. Your role might be something else. I mean, you could be handing out programs. That's a role. If you can't smile and do that, you need a new role. But you definitely will have the role of reconciliation, reconciling lost to God and then yourself to that lost person who's now new in the family. And make disciples who make disciples. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Verse 11, there is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. Verse 12, all have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There's no one who does what is good, not even one. So I didn't feel so bad after I read that. So, okay, well, everybody's kind of low on a totem pole in their worth. Based on the sin that you're in. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you long before you were born. He knew the hairs on your head, and he can subtract. So don't think for a moment he's not aware of everything in your life. And if you haven't come to him yet, make today your day. Don't wait for January 1. Today needs to be the day. If you've said and confessed and believed and walked through that, okay, great. Have you been new? Like, new. Because maybe you need to go back to him and repent once again. Confess that sin and come at him. Maybe. Just maybe. And then you'll be changed to 1 Corinthians 3:9, where he says, for we are God's co-workers, and you are God's field and his building. Why do you need to be made new? So that you can be God's co-worker. So that you can, point number three, take new ground. Take new ground. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says to Peter again, he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That's an offensive advancement. That's an offensive strategy. That's an offensive term. He says those gates won't stay when you press against them. That doesn't say let's close our doors and hide and we can defend our gate. That's not what he said. That's a going statement. And he, oh wait, in Matthew 28, 19, he says, go. Imagine playing the game and knowing that you're going to win because God said so. Would have made Carolina feel more comfortable, right? So I'm a Gamecock graduate. I know. And my whole point is, you'd play the game a whole lot different if you knew you were going to win. You have the opportunity to step into the world, step into life, and come against the gates of hell all around you and win. That's not a softy statement. That's a strong and powerful claim to victory in Christ Jesus. And if you truly believe that, accept the newness in Christ Jesus and take new ground for Christ Jesus, for his kingdom, for his glory, to make his name known, because he's worth it. He did everything for you. He gave everything for you so that you could be new in him and give your life to him because he's worth it. Take new ground. Start in your home. Oh, start in your home. I've been married, it'll be 12 years on October 14th. Love my wife, she's phenomenal. When we first started though, I was the problem. Didn't know it though, I was praying for her to change. Oh, y'all laugh, I'm serious. I was like, Lord, this woman of mine, right? I went King James on it. And then next thing I knew, nothing was happening. So I got more intense with the prayer. I got to stomping. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. But at some point, it dawned on me. She's a child of God too. Okay? That means that her heavenly father is my father-in-law. My earthly father-in-law is scary. You think he could call down fire and brimstone the way he looks at you. I thought about that. I realized I was talking to her daddy too, about her. And I said, oh, I need to change. I need a new mindset, a new perspective. I asked this beautiful, loving, intelligent woman to marry me, and I promised to take care of her. I vowed to commit to her the rest of my life, and I got the audacity to say, move to my whims. What? Doesn't sound like relationship. Christ, for his bride, died. Came back and said, love me. The problem was I wasn't new yet. I had forgotten that Christ's bride and my marriage was supposed to be a picture of what he did. So I had to die to myself. My prayer changed for me to change, for me to be a new husband to her. I'm so glad I did that before we had kids. Goodness me. And I tell you that if you aren't searching yourself and allowing God to search you and purge from you what's not like him, you're not going to be walking in the newness. You're walking in the oldness. And that oldness is stinky. Literally. Old anything gets stinky, right? I'm going to close with this. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David writes these words. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way of everlasting. Any wicked way. The wicked way is like Romans 1:25 says, to exchange the truth for the lie that the world offers. That's the way of the wicked, to believe that the world's got it right and that somehow God messed up. First of all, God doesn't stutter. If he said it, he meant it. The other way is John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That's a bold statement of the necessity for newness. So if you have not made the decision for Christ Jesus, have not called him your Lord and Savior, have not made the claim of your necessity for him and truly been changed by him, there's a problem. God bless you. The problem is not your spouse. Remember I said, look at you. The problem's not your boss. The problem's not your coworker. You have that one. If you don't have that coworker is you. You definitely need to change. The most important thing is you need to change because there's someone out there lost with no hope, dying. And their destiny right now is hell because they don't know that the hope is in Christ Jesus. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for you to obey what Christ said. Could you imagine if I told my daughter, go clean your room? And she walked away and came back and said, Daddy, I memorized what you said. You said, go clean your room. Am I going to celebrate that? Would I celebrate that she memorized what I said if she didn't actually clean her room? So I'm going to ask her, did you clean your room? Oh, no. Well, go clean your room. So she comes back again. Daddy, I memorized what you said in Greek and in Hebrew. But sweetie, did you clean your room? Oh, right. She left again, came back. Daddy, I met with a group of my friends. We sat in a circle and talked about what it would look like if I cleaned my room. We scheduled weekly meetings to sit together to talk about if we did this, what it would look like. My question is, did you clean your room? Have you been made new in Christ Jesus? Have you confessed that he is Lord, believed the truth of the gospel, that he came to die for you, that he rose on the third day, and you confess that you needed him because you're lost without him? If you've done that, you should be a new creation in him. Take the information, let it go 18 inches to your heart, take that heart of stone and make it flesh. And be new so the world can see the God of everything in you. But if you haven't made that decision today, don't leave without letting someone know that you want to be made new in Christ. You've got information cards, you've got next step tables. I'll be right over here. I'll be happy to talk with you about what that looks like. But the most important thing you need to know is this. You need to be made new in Christ Jesus. Don't just do new stuff. And when you become new in Christ, take new ground for him because he's worth it. Start at home, start your neighborhood, start at your job, start in your area, your neighborhood, have it go on out all the way to our state. Watch South Carolina look a whole lot different if the believers stood up and began to share hope with every life. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray.